You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton, bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and we are honored to be here with you again on another Saturday afternoon. We're on every week from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have for 23 plus years, and God gave us a name way back at the beginning, out of Revelation 19:10, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. So we're honored to be here with you. Our purpose is to raise the standard of the body of Christ, to teach the things of the Jewish roots and understanding. We know the last few weeks we've been talking about the season coming up. We're coming up in the middle of June, or when was it, around the 12th? What day is Pentecost this year?
That's it.
That's right. So we're counting the Omer up to the time of Pentecost, and there's so
June
much...
June 12th.
June 12th, that we need to understand and know about this time. And we know that Paul had a time in the book of Acts when he wanted to get back to Jerusalem for the Pentecost, because the males were required to be there at Passover, at Pentecost, and Tabernacles. He wanted to get back to Jerusalem, so it was an important time. And so we're honored to be here with you, and hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And if you can't stay tuned in for the whole program, we do offer CDs or tapes, whichever you'd have or you'd want. And all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And the address is Post Office Box 413, Stewart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. Or maybe someone would just like to give an offering, Pastor Don, just to help the ministry.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, some people,
the Lord.
Some people, we've had people call, been listening for years, and never sent an offering in. So ask the Lord today what He'd have you to do. And whatever He tells you to do.
Are you blessed by this radio program?
Right. You'll be obedient to what He tells you. Yes, and you'll be blessed. And also, this ministry will be blessed as well. So we're honored to be here with you. So as we open up, we just give God all the glory and all the praise for what's going to be said today. It's all about Him. It's not about Don and I. It's about Him. Her and I are just coordinators and initiators of the things
vessels
of God. And vessels that God wants to use for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and everything He wants done in this day and this hour. So Pastor Don is going to open up. We got two special guests coming on Sunday, and I'm going to let her explain it to you, and you're welcome to come. It's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead, honey.
Amen. Well, these two men, one is a Jew and the other one is a Gentile. Well, they both believe in Yeshua.
Hallelujah.
As the Messiah.
The one new man.
And Marty Schraub, I believe it's pronounced, of Tikkun Ministries. He's a Messianic Jew, and he's coming. And also Dean Bai, and he's the founder of Return Ministries. We'll talk about Return where? Return to Israel.
That's right.
And so they actually take tours, and they've been to Israel like, I don't know how many times. But they have a vision for the Jew and the Gentile, the Jews and the Christians, to work together, what? To fulfill God's plan and the purpose that He has for Israel and for the nations, according to the Word of God. And we know that those nations that do not line up with God's word, there's going to be a great judgment
will come. You're
great
right.
Judgment. So we need to pray, and we need to pray for our country, our
Amen.
Nation, that we will stand alongside. Benjamin Netanyahu, he said he will not give up one, what do you say, meter?
That's right.
Of land. So praise God for that. Now, see, they want to give up. They want them to give up part of Jerusalem.
So they want to divide.
Well, it's bad enough that part they don't have all of Israel back, which they will have it all back
in one day.
In
yes.
one day, but to give up Jerusalem, never. You know. Anyways, they will be with us this coming Sunday, at Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, like Pastor Gene said. And they're going to be, actually, it's called the Four Winds.
Whoa, that sounds good.
They're bridge builders, amen? Mm-hmm. And it's about the one new man. And we can talk about that. That's in the Bible. The Bible talks about one new man.
Ephesians chapter 2.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. We might want to read that, Pastor Gene, mm-hmm. while I'm talking.
Okay,
you can go to that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. It talks about the one new man, the Jew and the Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
God's not finished with the Jewish people, as some people declare.
Yeah, yeah.
Some, you know, some churches even say that the church has replaced Israel. Well, the church has not replaced Israel.
Never will.
And never will. And God, and you know, there's a warning there. That we're given a warning that if we are disobedient, you know, we can be broken off.
That's right.
We can be taken out. So we never should speak against Israel or against the one new man, because that's God's heart. Anyways, these two gentlemen are going to be traveling the United States and to major cities and major areas, and they're going to be in this area. They started in Jacksonville this past Friday at the church up there.
Paul Wilbur's church
mm-hmm. in Jacksonville, Florida. And so then they will be here with us on Sunday, and there will be another church on Monday. Treasure Coast Church in Fort Pierce, and they will be in other places. I think they'll be in Palm Beach. But anyways, you can give us a call, and we can let you know these other places they're going to be. But we're just blessed to have them here in Stuart. We've been talking about the one new man for how many years, Pastor Gene?
Long time.
On this radio program for as long as we've been on
18,
here.
Almost 19 years now.
And also, you know, this radio broadcast that you're listening to, you know, you can listen to it again, over and over again. You can go to WCNO. We're on the internet. You can tell your friends, family, go to WCNO.com. And you can just go listen to anything. There's radio stations on there. There's teaching. There's music. But if you want to listen to Raising the Standard, just go to Saturday and look on the guide at 12 noon, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton with Raising the Standard. And you can listen to many of the messages that we brought forth over the years. Amen. So it's called about the winds of God. Bringing the Jew and the Gentile together.
The all one directions, new man. Yeah.
So these two men minister get together as one.
That's right.
They're like a team, like you and I, Pastor Gene. We're a team ministry.
We're an apostolic prophetic team.
And so they are a team ministry.
And by the way, the Jewish brother that's going to be there, he lives in Israel.
He lives in Canada.
Oh, I thought he lived in Israel.
He spends
a lot of time there then, yes.
In Israel, yes.
A lot of
does.
Time in Israel, yeah.
And praise the Lord. So did you find the scripture over there in Ephesians chapter 2?
Yep, let's read this a little bit.
I want to get a phone number in a minute, too.
Okay. This ought to stir up some people. Maybe you want to come and listen to what these two brothers have to say. And if you're interested at all in the one new man, and the Bible says this is going to happen one day. So it will, no matter what the church says or what people say, this is going to happen. So for time's sake here, I'm in chapter 2 of Ephesians. I'm going to start in verse 11. We'll read a few verses here. Mm-hmm. Paul says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles." Well, as far as I know, I was a Gentile, okay? And Pastor Donna was. "In the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision, which would be the Jews, in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world."
No hope.
That's right. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye," that means you all, "who sometimes were afar off," that means the Gentiles, I know, "are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
For he is our peace," who's this? Yeshua is our peace, "who hath made both one," both what? Jew and Gentile, one. "And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," all these legalistic aspects, "having abolished," verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the Torah of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain," that means two, "one new man, so making peace." Isn't that incredible? and that he might reconcile both God, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, Jew and Gentile, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. The Jews were nigh, and I believe the Gentiles he's referring to were the ones that were far off. For through him, who's this? Yeshua, we both, what, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit, unto the Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're joined in with them,
the Gentiles. The household of God.
That's right. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
Now listen to this. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, Jew and Gentile. Verse 22, the last verse. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
So, wow. See, it has to happen. The Jew and the Gentile.
It has to happen.
That's what, according to... To make the framework, to make the building correct, to make
That's
it
right.
right, to have everything right.
And a proper foundation.
And a proper foundation.
That's right.
So come, if you can come and listen to these this Jew and the Gentile preaching about the one new man. It's called the Four Winds.
Amen.
So now's the time for these four winds to blow and come together to make this one, mm-hmm. to make it one. Because it's been separated so long. You know, even Messianic congregations, they have believers in there that are not Jewish.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're one in the Lord. When we become to the Lord, mm-hmm. we are spiritual Jews. And we're connected with them. We're connected. And we've been grafted back in to the true branch, haven't we?
That's right.
To the true vine. So we've returned. So we need to return to our Jewish roots. And this is what we've been teaching for so many years, to return to these our roots of the Lord. The feast of the Lord is what's called in the Bible. So to make the one new man. So come, and I want to give you our phone number, and so you can pray for this too. Pray for these two men, because they're going to be traveling a lot around the country in the next few months, going to many, many states and preaching this message. And this message has to come about. Amen.
Sure does. No question about it. Because the Bible says it's going to come, and the one new man will come. Doesn't matter what man thinks. Doesn't matter what the nations think. It does not matter. It will be. You know, one thing I get tired of hearing, Pastor Donna, I've been reading the book of Jeremiah. I'm in chapter 50 now this week, and last week. Think about this. Jeremiah doesn't once mention one time about Israel being a state. It is a nation. God's land is a nation, the nation of Israel. So how in the world can we call it a state? But that's what we do. And this just makes you think about division. Well, there's not going to be any division. God's not going to allow that to happen. And so we have to stand with Israel. If we don't, you know what it says over in Genesis? What? Those that bless Israel will be blessed. Mm-hmm. Those that curse Israel will be cursed. And so we got a lot of cursing going on, even in the church today, in many arenas. So we have to stand up against that in the name above all names.
You know,
Jesus
we've been
name.
Talking about this one new man, and you shared today at our prayer. We have prayer every Thursday. Morning at noon every day, every Thursday, and you talked about what you've been reading in Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was put into a pit.
That's right.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
And the one person who got him out of that pit was...
An Ethiopian man.
An Ethiopian got him out of there. So here you have them working together. You know, what a blessing. That man's going to have a real blessing.
And you read on after that, the blessing that God's going to have for the Ethiopian someday. We'll be there to see that. It's incredible what God promised that man just because of his obedience to do what needed to be done with Jeremiah.
That's right. You know, there's been a lot of people that have helped the Jewish people
That's
down
right.
through time.
Sure.
Yeah, even in Germany, all the things that have happened, there have mm-hmm. been people that have given their lives mm-hmm. to be able to help them. So I want to mention also that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. Every Friday night we have our Shabbat service, and then we come together on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Right now we're not doing anything on Saturday for the month of June. We're taking some rest time, but we will have services on Friday at 7 p.m., our Shabbat service. And what's the Shabbat service? Well, we honor the Sabbath, the beginning
Sure.
of the Sabbath.
Amen.
And we light the candles, we say the prayer. And we teach and we have communion and we spend time seeking God's presence. You know, that's Friday
that's right.
night, and sometimes we're not out of there till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
Or 11:30.
So, you know, and people come and go when they want to, but, you know, many people just want to stay and just soak up God's presence. And then Sunday morning we have our normal service, and we always have fellowship meal afterwards. And so if you can come out, come out. And I'm going to give you the telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. And we're located right here in Stuart, Florida, just off of 95, on right on 76. Is that what it's called? State Road 76?
Or Canner Highway.
Canner Highway, same thing. And just right in town in Stuart. So come out and give us a call if you want to come. We certainly will give you directions on how to get there. And I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey.
Hallelujah.
Over on Andros Island.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Wait, and the Temple of God is being built.
Amen. More and more
is happening. They had to get more steel on the island. I understand Roscoe said they didn't have steel.
I hope they got it by now.
So, yeah, they got steel, and they're getting ready to, won't be long before they'll be putting the roof on.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, one step at a time. And so the Temple of God, which is the name of the ministry over there, is an apostolic and prophetic ministry. If anybody is listening to us from Andros Island or from the Bahamas, you know, because we're on the internet. So anyone, just tell your friends to go to WCNO and listen to us wherever they're at.
They can pick it up on the radio if they're in their car, probably.
Well, they're better off on the internet, honey.
That's right.
That's the best way to do it.
That's right.
Okay, because they'll get a much clearer sound.
The Temple of God on Conch Sound.
Temple of God on Conch Sound.
Blowing those conch shells like a shofar, hallelujah, and declaring God's glory and what He's going to do on that island.
Well, so, we're just blessed to be here on WCNO today, and we're going to be talking about some more things about Pentecost.
Right. We know in the book of Acts, you know, that Paul had a desire at one point in time to get back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, because it was one of the times that all the males were supposed to be there. I want to go down a little bit of a bunny trail that's going to kind of lead into this about Pentecost today. You know, years and years ago, Paul spoke to the Ephesian church over in Acts chapter 20. I want to read a couple of verses here to you. He warned way back then what we see going on today. It's been a gradual leavening of the church down through time.
Certainly has.
And so I want to
it's getting worse every day.
Right. And I want to just read this to you out of Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read starting verse 28. Listen to this. Paul says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock." He was talking to the leadership in the Ephesian church, "over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." That word overseer is the same word for pastor, bishop, overseer. "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased," how? "With his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing," he knew he was going to leave and they never see him again, "shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Amen. Mm. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Isn't that incredible? So he was declaring that some things was going to happen. Well, if you don't have my book that I wrote, The Prophetic Calendar and the Pictures of the Messiah Through the Jewish Appointed Times, or God's Appointed Times, you ought to read this. And, you know, Matthew 13 has some parables over there. One of them was talking about the leaven, about a woman with three measures of leaven. But if we look at this real close, the woman is a picture of the corrupt church, and the leaven is what the sin that's going to come in. So I'm going to read something out of my book that I wrote, and you can get this book if you'd like to have it. It's got all the appointed times, the historical event that happened, and then the prophetic implications of it. So I want to just share this with you, and I can't read the whole thing, but I got one paragraph I want you to listen to real close.
Well, you know what's, before you go on to that, you know, this one verse is really, he's giving them counsel from God. It says that in verse 27. He declares that unto you, all the counsel of God. And he tells them to take heed. First to what? To themselves.
To themselves, to the leadership, yeah.
And then to all the flock.
Yeah.
You can't take care of the flock. If you can't take care of yourself, you certainly can't take care of the flock.
Absolutely.
And who's the one who guides? It says the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
"Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." See, it's the Holy Ghost who calls those to be overseers, those to be apostles, those to be prophets, those to be pastors and teachers. He's the one who calls those gifts that we talks about over there in Corinthians about the different gifts.
That's right.
He's the Holy Ghost is the one who calls to be overseers. What? To feed the church. See, the Holy Ghost won't feed the church garbage.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost won't lie.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost won't speak against mm-hmm. the Word of God. The Holy Ghost won't say it's okay to do this when the Bible says it's not okay. The Holy Ghost won't say, well, we live in a different century, so this Bible is not for today. The Holy Ghost doesn't say those things. The Holy Ghost doesn't change. So who changes?
Man
changes things.
That's right.
Man wants to put new laws and change things. The same thing the Jewish people did. They
right.
they wanted to add laws, didn't they?
That's
they
right.
added laws that God never, ever told them to do.
That's it.
But it's the Holy Ghost. So without the Holy Ghost, how can you be, how can you take care of yourself? You
That's
can't.
Right.
How can you be an over, how can you lead the flock? You can't. How can you do anything? How can you feed them? How can you feed the church of God if you're not feeding them from the Word of God and the Holy Ghost?
And giving them the truth.
And you've got to have the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because the Holy Ghost will lead us into what?
All truth.
All
not
truth.
Some, it says all truth.
But people don't want the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
A lot of people don't want the Holy Ghost.
That's
they
right.
don't even like the word Holy Ghost.
That's right.
They don't really understand why the King James Bible says Holy Ghost.
That's right.
But there is a reason why it says Holy Ghost. And, of course, I don't think we have time to go into all that right now, but there is a reason.
The translators knew what it meant.
they certainly did, and we know what it means. And so this word Holy Ghost is taken out of, as far as I know, most all the other Bibles.
And it's not in any other Bible.
Oh, it's not in any other Bible?
No.
So there's a reason, because the Holy Ghost came and they were divided. Fires and came upon each one of them. Gifts were given by the way of the Holy Ghost from the Father and the Son. This was the Holy Ghost. So we need the Holy Ghost.
Yes, we do. So think about it. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the giver.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is the part that we receive from
That's
the
it.
Lord. Amen. And we need it so bad. We do.
And the only ones who receive the Holy Ghost are those who have asked Jesus or Yeshua into their heart. And they receive the Holy Ghost.
They
he
must
says
be
that
born
you
again.
Will receive the Holy Ghost not many days, right?
Yeah.
And it talks about people receiving the Holy Ghost even later on when the Word of God was preached, you know?
Because
some of them had only heard the word of John.
That's right.
They had only been baptized
Hallelujah.
Unto John. They hadn't
mm-hmm.
been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. But as we see, the Holy Ghost isn't just for Pentecost. Or for a season, or for a feast. The mm-hmm. Holy Ghost is for our lives daily, every day, every day, every day. Because these other people that got baptized with the Holy Ghost, you know, they started speaking with tongues right away.
That's right. Immediately.
Even before they were baptized.
That's right.
There's people that received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So you don't have to be baptized first to receive the Holy Ghost, but you want to receive the Holy Ghost. You have to have Jesus in your heart.
Shit.
And you know, there are, and so Paul warns them because there are false spirits out there. There are demonic spirits out there.
Everywhere.
And so we need to have discernment. And the Holy Ghost is always going to line up with the Word of God. If somebody is speaking something other than the Word of God, they're not hearing from the Holy Ghost.
That's right. So I was going to just talk about this. You know, Matthew chapter 13 has seven parables over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the key one is the one that's in verse 33. And it's talking about the parable of the leaven. Now, most of the church, the denominations teach this. And they tell you that the gospel is what? Is the leaven. And the woman who takes it hides the leaven is the church. And the three measures of meal that you read over there represents the world. Well, you think about that, that can't be true. But they would say that the church, by preaching the gospel in the world, will convert all the world, and then the whole earth will be leavened and what? Converted to Christ. That's not what that says at all. We got to understand this. And I think it's going to fit right in what we want to talk about here today.
And where's this at? Matthew?
Matthew chapter 13, verse 33 talks about this parable. But this interpretation is inconsistent, I believe, with all my heart, in any way about leaven as it's used throughout the biblical revelation. Whenever you find leaven in the Bible, it is always a symbol of evil, sin, or corruption. You need to look and think about it. That's what it is. It's never anything good. Leaven in its most common form is yeast that they put into bread to make it rise. Isn't that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
And is a destructive agent. What it does is it introduces a process of fermentation. And in reality, fermentation is fundamentally a process of what? Destruction. It destroys things. That's what it does. In the case of grape juice, for example, when it ferments, the molecules of the carbohydrates in that juice are broken down into smaller molecules of carbon dioxide and alcohol. It is a degenerative process, a process of decay, which is why it always symbolizes evil in the Bible. So let's think about this when we think about it. In Judaism even, they understand and only use unleavened bread during the Passover season. And why? Because God has revealed this evil representation all throughout His Word. In many of the Jewish writings, one of which is called the Book of Why, which I have two of them, says this about leaven. Matzah was used in the sacrificial system of the temple. Offerings had to be absolutely pure, and anything leavened was considered impure because it had fermented or soured. It's sour. See, we have sin in our life, it causes us to be soured. The word leaven literally means sour, but matzah, on the other hand, was a symbol of purity. The Talmud even says leaven represents the evil impulse or evil inclination of the heart. So think about this. We've talked about it. I just want to read this last paragraph to you. In the Old Covenant, leaven represented evil. In the New Testament, it represents evil in the form of doctrinal error. That's where I'm going to get to here. That's what Paul was warning about here in Acts chapter 20.
There was doctrinal error in the Old Testament as well.
Sure.
There was sin in the Old Testament.
That's right. So if it's a form of doctrinal error or false teaching. Yeshua warned his disciples against the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees over in Matthew chapter 16. In Mark 8:15, for instance, he warns them against the leaven of the Herodians. The leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy and outward observances. Outwardly, they dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, but inwardly, many of the Pharisees were full of meanness and corruption. The leaven of the Sadducees was their humanistic and materialistic worldview, what we have today in the church even, because they denied the supernatural and the miraculous. The Sadducees denied the reality of the resurrection and said that this life is all that there is in human existence. The leaven of the Herodians was the mixing of politics and religion. Don't we have that today? Yeshua warned about all three of these forms of evil and used leaven to symbolize all of them. Now, I want you to hone in on this. In the New Testament, leaven always represents evil in the form of moral error as well, not just doctrinal error, but also moral error. Think about the moral things we have today that's so wrong in our country that our government has passed. The Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians against the leaven of malice and wickedness over in 1 Corinthians 5. In fact, he says the same thing about leaven that Yeshua says right here in Matthew 13 if you read this parable. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:6, "Know ye not that a little leaven, what? Leaveneth the whole lump. That is the corrupting power of evil. If you take a little evil and mix it with a barrel full of goodness, what happens? Does this goodness make the evil turn good, or does it make the good turn evil? Think about it. If you take a bushel of apples and add one rotten apple to it, what happens? Do the good apples have an effect on the bad apples, or does the bad apple have an effect on the good apples? We know what happens, the bad ones do. You see, that is the corrupting power of sin in every way. So we see all this today, what's going on. The things that we have today and people that the sin that we have in the church, it just tears my heart out to think about what we have, what's going on in our church today. And so we have that. So that woman, that parable represents what? The apostate church. And so what are they doing? We got all this false stuff that's coming. We're accepting same-sex marriage. We're ordaining ministers to function as leadership in churches that live in that lifestyle. And so we've got all these things that we see going on. And so this is Paul warned right here in Acts chapter 20, hundreds of years ago. Also of your own selves shall men arise within the church, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So when the day of Pentecost came, what happened? It was a call to start the church, we know that, but it was also a call to walk in the holiness that Jesus Christ presented in the Gospels, that we would know how to walk and believe. And we also have to join in with the Torah readings and the things in the First Covenant so we can understand how to walk a holy life. And that's what it was all about. And so Pentecost brought that to a pinnacle. And that's why God had them speaking in tongues that day, I believe, so much. It was so important. It was important because it brought unity when they were all speaking in tongues and praising God at that particular time. And we got the church today, a lot of areas, they totally disdain the Holy Ghost. But it's something God desires that every single person that comes to Christ would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's always the proof in the book of Acts. The evidence was always that they spoke in a language that they didn't know. Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
And so
that's
Paul
right.
did it. Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than you all." No wonder. He was beaten, flogged, thrown in the sea. All the things he went through. No wonder he was praying in tongues all the time. And I think it was in the book of Jude, said to build up your most holy faith by praying in praying in what? In the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? We need that, says the Lord. You need that in your life today. And so
even
it's
when
so
he
important.
Was in jail.
Yeah.
Even when he was being persecuted, even
sure.
when he was suffering.
Yeah.
You know, all these things that happened to him, all the beatings and everything. You know, he continued. That was where he drew his strength.
Absolutely.
Because what's it say the Holy Ghost does? It builds us up. It builds us up. It builds up our faith. It builds up our strength. It helps us to go on with the Lord, no matter what's going on in around us or what's going on in our life, no matter what persecution we may be suffering, like Paul did. Boy, what about all those Christians over there that are being killed or beheaded?
That's right.
Because they won't deny Christ? Well, the Holy Ghost is the one who gives them the strength to be able to stand and not deny Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're weak, you know. But you talk about those two loaves, and they're both have leaven.
Have
in them.
Leaven in them. That's
well,
right.
Well, you think about it. The Jew, one represents to me. One represents the Jew. One represents the Gentile or the church.
Yeah.
And even in the old days, you know, they still had two loaves of bread. Well, you had the Jew, and then you had the world.
That's it.
You know, and so the world is evil, and even the Jewish people, there's sin in their camp. Look what
That's
they
right.
did at Mount Sinai. Look how they built that
yeah.
golden calf, and they yeah. did all those things that were terrible. And they were God. They're the ones that came through the sea.
That's
they're
right.
the ones that saw all the miracles. Yet there was still sin in their camp,
mm-hmm.
and there's sin in the church. So here we have. We still have all this leaven, and there's still sin in the church. You know, the bread is there, but it's not unleavened. It's not pure. It's not. We're not going to be totally set free from all that until, you know, till the day that we're caught away with the Lord. But we're to be seeking holiness.
It
says that we should be seeking holiness. So we got the sin. When you think about a tree, you know, you got this. The Bible talks about a tree too. You've got this huge church, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of huge churches around the world. And you know, there's a lot of sin in those huge churches.
That's
now, I'm
right.
not saying there's not sin in a small church. I'm sure there's sin in a small church as well.
That's right.
Wherever there's people, there's going to be sin. But, you know, when something gets out of, what do you call it, out of the natural, totally out of the natural, where you have these huge churches and they're ordaining homosexuals.
That's
and,
right.
you know, there's people flocking to these churches because it's a drawing card because it's, you know, they can do whatever they want.
They think God's going to accept them in that church.
And God's not going to accept that
right.
stuff, you know. And so there's sin in the camp. And so, but God wants us to be holy. And so
That's
we
right.
need to be pursuing holiness. And if we know that there's sin in our church, if we know of things that are going on. We all sin. I'm not saying we don't sin. We all miss the mark.
That's right.
There's three kinds of sin, right, Pastor Gene?
That's right. Sin just means you're missing the mark.
One is you just miss the mark. You know, you say things wrong, you do things wrong, and maybe you make an ugly face to somebody. You know, maybe you speak the wrong thing, or you're not kind, you know.
So what's transgression? What's the second one?
And then you got, then so that's just basically missing the mark. And
that's
then
right.
you got transgression. What's transgression?
That says when you know the truth and mm-hmm. you go ahead and do it thinking, well, it's going to be under the blood, it won't matter.
Right. For instance, these homosexual churches, they think that they are saved. They think that they know the church. But the Bible says that any people who are liars and do these things, they won't
inherit the kingdom
of
God.
And what about the others? That they twist. What's the third one?
The third one is iniquity.
Iniquity.
It comes from a word to pervert or twist the word of
so
God.
So they're twisting the word of God. And this is what Paul was coming against, what you read early.
That's right.
Earlier is the twisting of the word of God and saying it means something other than what it really means.
That's right.
And he says there's going to be people that come in. They're going to be like wolves and bringing in false
doctrine. In
sheep's clothing. Looking good, but speaking evil and speaking
lies
a lie.
And hypocrisy. I'm going to read something out of Acts chapter 28 that Paul, you know, Paul got put in jail. Remember, he was sent to Rome and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see where I want to start at. Let's see where it'd be a good place to start. This is really important. I'm going to start in verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal mm-hmm. unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. This was for the hope of Israel. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, what's the sect? The body of Christ. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both of the law, the Torah of Moses, and how the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. This is a rhema word. Well spake, he says, the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, means Isaiah, the prophet, unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hear ye shall hear. Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. This is the good part now. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, mm-hmm. and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Now here's the key verses. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So he was telling the truth, wasn't he? Well, we need that in the church. Then we need people telling the truth. But we don't seem to get that for some reason. I don't understand it. But that's what we have today. And so we have this watered-down gospel. You know, and this leaven we're talking about in that parable is just it's a symbol of the corrupting power of evil that's come into the church. And we are accepting that today as a whole. I don't understand what's going on with all this. But we have to continue to pray, don't we, Donna?
The world's accepting it.
That's right.
The world is getting worse and worse, and the church is what? The church is not following Christ. The church is following the world.
That's right. I made this comment in my book. Never before has there been so much error taught and deception practiced in the church. Never before has there been such a lack of separation and holiness or sanctification among believers. Never before has there been such an attitude of tolerance toward false doctrine and moral looseness as there is today, as we read over in Acts chapter 20. That's what we have today. So Paul spoke that hundreds of years ago, and it was going on in that day, but I think it's just escalated now in these last days. So Pentecost was a call to the church to come together and to walk in holiness and righteousness with God from that point on. And we have a lot of people that are doing that, but there's a lot more that are just kind of loosey-goosey, I think. They just, they think that they can do about anything, and they're okay. I call it greasy grace. There's no such thing as greasy grace. There's none. It's got to be right. It's got to be right. You know, when we do that, we're insulting the spirit of grace. When we think, well, I did this, well, I'll just ask for forgiveness, and then 2 weeks later, we're doing the same thing over again. So we got to have our hearts right with God, and some things are hard to get rid of. Some things are hard to get out of you, but the more you trust God, the more He'll bring you through that, and you'll get through it, and you'll be a different person. And then when you get done with that particular thing in your life, then there'll be something else come up, whether pastor or not. There's always something else. The devil's, he's waiting in line. You get over one thing, he's going to bring something else to try to steal, kill, and destroy from God's people. And so we have to be strong in the Lord. And the main thing is to know this book we have before us called the Holy Bible. To know what it says. To tell us what to do and what not to do. Isn't it true, Pastor Don? That's what the Torah does. And the church doesn't even want to talk about the Torah anymore. Well, we know we don't do the ceremonial things that the Torah does and all that. And the legalistic thing. But there's a spiritual truth out of every one of those commandments that God made. And that's what we want to walk into.
And what did Jesus do? Jesus spoke the words of the Torah.
Sure did, all the time.
He spoke the words of the Torah all the time. And, you know, the true church is the Jew and the Gentile coming together as one in Yeshua. That's what the true church is.
That's right.
Is coming together as one in Messiah, the one in Yeshua.
That's right.
And so, you know, we're finishing up in the book of Leviticus this week. And I like what it says here at the end. In one of these chapters.
Okay. Are you going to Leviticus?
Yeah, I like what it says, because You know, if we obey God, the promises that are in this book of Leviticus or any of the other books
are for us today. That's right.
Because it all comes down to being obedient.
Absolutely.
And you know, and God gave gave the law, and he also gave the curses and the blessings.
Sure did.
You know, and so God doesn't put curses on people. People allow curses to come on themselves because they're not obedient.
That's right.
To the Lord. But it says here, in chapter 26 and verse 18, it says, if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins.
Mm.
Wow. He says, and I will break the pride of your power. Men try to control things, don't they?
Sure do.
They try to control things.
Pride,
but he also speaks blessings. He says that if we will obey, mm-hmm. he says in verse 7, he says, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword, and 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight.
Whoa.
And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. You know, now, when we're talking about physical sword, it could be a physical sword, but we're talking about, you know, having the blessings of God upon our lives, and not
right.
and not having any of these curses that would come against us, you know.
That's right.
Because being obedient, if we obey God, if you keep my, up here in the top, he says, if you keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. And if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, well, you know, Jesus declares some of these same things.
Lots. Go read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7.
Talks about being obedient, following after him, following the word.
That's right.
Keeping the covenant.
That's right. Some people say, well, keeping the Torah, that's a bunch of legalism. No, it's not. That's the blessings that follow us if we obey God's word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The pattern that we have all the way through. The Bible doesn't contradict. The first covenant doesn't contradict the new covenant, and vice versa. It doesn't do that at all. It's together like a glove. And so I thought about this today, Pastor. Now when you think about, we're talking about Pentecost. You know, the Holy Ghost is a holy thing that we're talking about. And do you know the Holy Ghost is a Jewish thing?
Amen.
It's a Jewish thing. The ones that received it to start with were all Jews. 3,000 came into the body of Christ that day. And then Cornelius.
And they were all Jews.
They were all Jews. Then Cornelius came in, who was a centurion, 12 or 13 years later, and he received it as well. But the thing is, it's a Jewish thing. It's a doctrine that God's put in place for us, so we have no right to say it's not for today or to remove it out of the Bible. It's not a suggestion. God says, I want you to have it. Amen. All the commandments are not suggestions. I want you to have it. And John wrote in his first letter, 1 John, he said that if we love the Lord, we'll honor him, we'll keep his word. And it says his words are what? Our commandments are not grievous. Why? Because we love God and we want to keep them.
That's right. That's right.
I think about King David. You know, he wanted to please God so much, and yet he got into 3 terrible sins that he did. But he turned to God, cried out to God,
mm-hmm.
and God forgave him, and he went on. And just think about that. And then after all the sin, God told David and the people that he spoke to, or I should say that God spoke to, and it was put in the Word of God that David was a man after God's own heart. But see, if we come the right way, get away from the sin and turn from it, that's why we use the word turn in the Hebrew. It's the word teshuva, to turn around and get away from what you were doing.
That's right.
And we all have struggles with things that we deal with. But the thing is, the more we trust God, the more He'll help us through that. And you can all sit down and think about your own life, that some of the things that you've been through, or that you're struggling with right now, that you seem to fall back in that all the time. I have something in my life too. And so we all have that. And so we have to trust the Lord with all of our heart, and He'll help you through. He will. He's there. That's what the Holy Ghost came for. He was our what? Our comforter. Hallelujah.
He is our comforter.
He is. He's going to tell us things to come. He's going to help us to do these things that we seem that we can't do. And so the answer is to have the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. But a lot of the church doesn't want the Holy Ghost. They're afraid of it. But no. That happened on Pentecost, and the church just, you know, a month ago celebrated Pentecost, almost a month ago. And of course, we know it's a long time of the year according to God's word, but anyway, they did that, and they probably talked about Pentecost, but I wonder how many churches...
It's on the 15th of May.
Yeah, I wonder how many... Is that when it was, 15th of May? I wonder how many churches that talked about it had a call, say, how many would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost today? Would you please come down in front and we're going to pray for you? I wonder how much that was done. I hope a lot. And if you're willing to come and you ask, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. But if you ask, you will receive. And they will. It's incredible when we think about it. Amen, Pastor Don?
Amen.
I'm reminded, this is an interesting thought. I've told the church this before. Don and I made a trip one time out to Houston to a meeting. And we were there for 5 days. And one morning, the pastor of that church had a bunch of young Baptist people that came from a Baptist church. And they were in the front row right where he was preaching. He was preaching about, guess what? The Holy Ghost. And so his wife was involved with the children's ministry. And she brought out this sponge doll that was cut out like a person. And so as the pastor began to preach about the Holy Ghost, he had a bottle of water. And he kept squirting this water on this sponge. And this sponge began to fill up and get, remember that, Pastor Don? And he got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it started dripping. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost is supposed to, is going to come out of you like a river, right? And so,
a river.
And so he went down. I don't know how many was in the front row. He went down the line and had them all stand up. And he just began to wring that doll out on each person. And as he did, each one of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They fell out in the Spirit right there on the floor. Remember that, Pastor?
Well, some people think that's crazy, but
it wasn't crazy. The place was shouting with the glory of God because all those people that had been taught that it wasn't for today, all of a sudden, they had it. I've got it. They could say, I've got it. And so people tell me, well, that's of the devil, Pastor G. Well, I got news for you. You're too late. I've got it. And I'm going to continue to walk in because it builds me up, it strengthens me, it encourages me, and I need that. When I'm praying in my heavenly language, Don and I and all believers that have the baptism, you're talking to God and not to man. That's what we need to talk to God. Not man can't help us very much, you know.
And Jesus told them about the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He told them. He taught them about it, you know. And
he sure did.
He told them to go and wait
in Jerusalem. To tarry for
that it would come upon them and that would be within them.
That's right. They'd be endued with power from on high. Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost came upon people in the Old Testament, but the Holy Ghost comes within.
That's right.
Believers.
That's right. He comes to dwell in us. That's right.
He would come and he would dwell in us.
You know, I tell people all the time, if you can give me a chapter and verse about that it's not for today, well then, I'll rethink maybe, but I've got it. How can I cancel? I can't. And don't tell me 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, because that's been misinterpreted. That's the perfect that's going to come is not the canon of Scripture. The perfect that's going to come, his name is Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the perfect that's going to come. When he comes, and we won't need all that, will we, Pastor Donald? No. Hallelujah, when he comes and sets up the kingdom on this earth.
And the only way we can chalk that in the love chapter, the only way we can have perfect love or charity, mm-hmm. which is for believers, for each other, is that by the Holy Ghost.
That's
because
right.
In ourselves, we really don't have the power to love.
The way God wants
us to love.
The way God,
but when we have the Holy Ghost, we have the
dunamis power to do
it. We have that dunamis power, which comes from the Holy Ghost, to love, to have the charity,
that's
because
right.
Love never fails.
Hallelujah.
Charity never fails, it says.
That's right.
Uh-huh. But you know, other things will fail. Prophecies will fail. Tongues will fail. Knowledge.
They want to hang on to knowledge, don't they? They want to hang on to that.
That's right. But that's right. But charity will never fail.
That will all be there when the perfect has come. The perfect is when Yeshua comes back to set up his kingdom. It's not got one thing about putting the canon in place, okay?
But, you know, it's interesting that chapter 13 is put there right before chapter 14 because without the God kind of love, how can you go and how can you ask for spiritual gifts?
That's right.
And to prophesy and to, you know, to do miracles and all these other things and have revelation, you know, and have tongues without charity.
That's right.
It's to no avail. It's really...
better be done in love, right?
Everything has to be done in love.
That's right. So, I mean, it's amazing what we have today. My heart goes out. But we have to continue to pray. And I told you up front that I've been praying and I've been reading the book of Jeremiah. Three times in that book, he told the prophets and all, they were good prophets and all. He says, do not, God told him, tell the people, do not pray for this people because there was so much rebellion and all that. And here we are asking God to bless America. And we're a sinful nation. We got so much wrong in this land. I'm surprised that God hasn't done more already to bring judgment upon the land. We're incredible how bad it is. I just, you know, we were praying on Thursday in our prayer meeting, and the things that the Lord has brought to my heart as I prayed that were so out of order, that are abominations to God, and we just continue to allow. The church is not doing much about it. We need to continue to preach about it, don't we, Pastor John?
We need to preach sin, that's right, and there is hell, but we need to pray for souls.
That's right.
That's what we need to pray for.
Pray for the people, souls. Their hearts will be changed, yes.
Pray for souls, one by one, their hearts are changed.
That's it.
And then that's when you'll see when somebody's heart is changed, you know, because it's going to take the hearts of people to change even a household or a country. You know, God's just not going to supernaturally change a country.
Nope.
No, it's going to be one heart at a time. It's going to be hearts that are changed that are in authority. So pray for the hearts of the people.
That's right.
Pray for salvation.
Think about the people that's listening to the program right now. Just think about you listeners. The day that you got saved and shortly thereafter, think about it. How much you were changed. Mm-hmm. Your stinking thinking became to think the way God wants to think, you know?
Amen.
And he comes to change your heart. And that's what it's all about. You know, we talked about Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the Beatitudes, the attitudes that we ought to be. If you look at all those, it's a thing of the heart. It's the heart. And that's what God came to do. And so Jesus came to reveal the Father's heart to the Jewish people at that time, but the majority of them didn't receive it either, did they? They just didn't comprehend it. But once they came to Christ, the ones that did and began to walk with him, well, then that day came when they were all born again after he died and rose from the grave. And then they went out and turned the world upside down because they began to realize that Yeshua was the answer for the whole world. He is the answer for every problem in this world right now. Do you know that? He's the answer for every single problem that we have. But we got all these false religions and things that are being taught and different religious groups and believing that there's another way and all the rest of it. There's not. There's only one way into the kingdom of God. And Jesus made that real clear over there in John chapter 14. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. It's
and
quite
you know,
clear.
They all had to pay a price.
Sure they did.
Some of them suffered. Some of them lost their lives.
Many of them
but,
did.
But you know, if you're a Christian and you come to the Lord and you're going to do what's right, then you pay a price. You
sure
pay a
do.
Price even sometimes with your family.
Or on your job.
Or close people. Or on your job.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
in your church.
You
pay a price.
That's right.
For the truth, you know. But God will honor us. I mean, God will take care of us if we do the right thing. If we do things according to His word.
That's right.
He's going to take care of us. And He's going to.
And He's going to bless us.
He's going to bless us. That's right. But if we cower back and we try to, you know, appease people. Or be pleasers, you know.
Men pleasers
instead of God pleasers.
Yeah.
You know, or we agree with somebody that you know because we don't want to hurt their feelings, and we agree with them, but yet we know in our heart that it's wrong. We gotta get bold in love in that love chapter. We gotta be bold. But we have to speak the truth in love, and
can,
you know, that's the only thing that's gonna set people free. Because if we agree with something wrong, then what we're really agreeing with the devil.
And we're condoning
their sin.
We're
agreeing with the enemy, and we're condoning their sin, and they'll stay in their sin.
And we're part of their sin then.
And so then we become part of their sin.
That's it.
And then we will be judged for that as well.
That's right.
Well, boy, that's a scary thing, isn't it?
It sure is. But I said this up front. It's important to remember the commandments and all the statutes and in here,
mm-hmm.
those are not suggestions. God's not saying, well, you can do it if you want or you don't. He says to do this, to obey His commandments, the statutes, the ordinances, everything He put in place. He told us to obey that. And if we do, what's going to happen? We're going to be blessed. But you read over in Deuteronomy, Pastor, you mentioned a while ago about the blessings and the cursings. The blessings was kind of short. It just covered everything real quick. But if we didn't obey it, it was curse after curse after curse after curse that would be applied to their lives because they disobeyed God.
That's right.
And He told them that day, so I'm going to set before you today, life and death. You choose. And so what's happened? A lot of people are choosing death instead of life. Even believers are choosing that. Amen?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
We think about the power of the word, the spoken word, you know, your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first thing you think about is death, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of life, we should talk about life before we speak death. Amen?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So there's a lot in Pentecost.
A lot in Pentecost.
You know, that was the birthing of the church when it started. And,
but it's not to stop, it's to continue.
Nope, it's supposed to go on.
It's for today?
Sure.
It was for yesterday?
Yeah, so a lot of those people were confused a little bit when it happened. But after they got the baptism and began to realize the truth with all this, well, then they were turned upside down. Their hearts were pricked as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. You know, he preached and 3,000 Jews came into the kingdom of God. Their hearts were pricked. And so as they went out through the world, in that part of the world, up into Mesopotamia and all that, and continued to preach the word of God, there was thousands and thousands of people that came to the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, as their Messiah, and they preached the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. And that's how they got in trouble. So we need to continue to talk about the resurrection of Christ. He died and rose from the grave, and he's alive.
Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, at the end of Matthew, Jesus spoke, and he said, when he told them to go, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,"
right,
"and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." We're talking about the Godhead.
That's right.
Some people wouldn't want to leave out the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Some people want to leave out the Father even and say, well, we baptize only in Jesus.
Jesus, right.
Well, these are words Jesus spoke. And it says, teaching them to observe all things.
Hear that?
Not all things, whatsoever I have commanded.
Not some things, all things.
But he's got the word commanded.
That's right.
Commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So he's with us.
Always. So if we do the right things, we're going to be blessed no matter what. It may not look like it at that moment, but if you just do what's right, it's going to get turned around, and you'll say, wow, look what God did. Amen. That's what we have to learn how to do.
Well, this is Pastor Gene.
We're down to about 2 minutes to go.
This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I want to mention also that we have guest speakers this Sunday. Mm-hmm. One new man, and they're going to be traveling throughout the United States. We have a Jewish man, and Marty, and we have a Gentile man, but they're both believers in Yeshua, Dean By. Mm-hmm. And they will be coming to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. So let the four winds blow. They're going to be taking this message throughout the nation about the one new man. So come, and I know you'll be blessed by it. We have services here in Stuart, Florida on Friday at 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10 a.m. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007, and we're here in Stuart, Florida.
And we're honored to be here with you every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. Amen. And our purpose is to raise the standard of the body of Christ. We talked about the moral decay and all that. And we need the Word of God and the right Word of God. That's what we're here for.
The truth.
The truth. The truth will make you free, that you can grow up and mature in the things of God. And you'll know the Holy Scriptures, and with the help of the Holy Ghost, he'll give you understanding with it, and you can walk a new way to help other people. So as we tell you every week, we're here because we love you, and we want to see this happen in your life. So we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.